This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Is this God who rules the heavens, who measures oceans in his hands, who made all creatures for his pleasure, and from the dust created man? Conceived imagination, whose justice is our cornerstone, yes, God, who governs history just by speaking, and calls the nations as his own.
Savior and our healer, defender, redeemer, Jesus, we look to you. Jesus, we look to you. Lightning crashes and thunder roars inside. All the angels are joined in one song, singing, holy, holy are you. Holy, holy are you. Holy, holy,
Expectation that we can have to be gathered around your throne. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every culture around the throne of God, worshiping Jesus. That is our hope. We long for that day. We thank you that your grace will keep us faithful. Your grace will allow us to finish the race. We look to you, Jesus. You are the author. You are the perfecter. The beginning and the end. And you will finish what you started.
Thank you, Father. Thank you. you that we can praise your name, that we can glorify your name, that we can worship you. And that this afternoon that we can come together, that we can listen to what you want to share with us, what is important. And that we can also direct our lives according to it, Father. Thank you that, yes, there are many things which are maybe distracting us, but that we can use the authority in the name of Jesus Christ, that we bind those powers who want to distract us, that we can hear and that we can listen and that we can understand what you want to share with us this afternoon, Father. Thank you that you've got time, always time for us, but it's actually a matter of us. We've got to set time aside to come to you. This afternoon, Father, we come and we sit at your feet and we look up. We say, Father, speak, speak to us. We want to listen from you. In the name of Jesus, amen. We serve a God who's building, a God who's continuously busy. He's always on the move. He's not standing still. He's always busy. He's a constructive God. He's a God who multiplies or always extends. And something what God has put into creation as well is growth, that there's continuously growth in it, and that we can also see that growth. And God is busy. God is busy with building his kingdom. God is busy using the church and using us to build his kingdom. We all know that in a normal life, if you're going to build a house, there are a lot of things which are involved in it. You need a piece of ground, you need an architect, the house has got to be built, a lot of people involved, different engineers has got to be involved, a painter, a bricklayer, a plasterer, all of those people are going to be involved. But at the end, when all the stuff is coming together, then it's finished and the house is being finished. What I'm trying to do this afternoon, I'm going to try to take those faces which you've got in building a house, and I'm going to put a spiritual building God's house, building God's kingdom, I'm going to put it next to it, and try to see and try to, that God is going to show us how important it is that he wants to work along with us, that he wants to be our co-worker. Because if we're going to do something, and specifically if we're talking about the next few days when we're going to do prayer and fast and we're going to seek God's face and we want to hear what God is saying to us, then we also have got to hear what his plan is. We also have got to hear what his will is, that we're going to do what he is asking us, what we should do. So I'm going to go through different phases of building, and in the end of each and every phase, I'm going to have a very short prayer. The first phase is when you've got a piece of ground, most of the time, it's a piece of ground which hasn't been used before. And then a sign is coming up. A sign saying, okay, this is what's going to be built over there. This is going to be the builder. This is going to be the architect. This is going to be the owner. Maybe a telephone number as well. Who you can contact. Those type of things. But also things have got to be done over there. Because you cannot just walk into a piece of ground and then just simply build a house. There may be a few trees which have got to be cut out. Or you maybe have got to level it, which is, I don't think, really the case over here in the Netherlands. You maybe have got to raise it a little bit that you're not building in water. But you put up a sign, and you send out a notice, and you say, this is what's going to happen over here. If we take a look at the spiritual side, in Jeremiah, we read exactly the same. And Jeremiah is saying over there, declare among the nations, declare among the Gentiles, proclaim and set up a standard. And a standard means that you're going to put up a flag, that you're going to put up a banner, that you're going to put up a pole, which has got a certain text on it. That's what you're going to put up there. This is what God is saying over there. Declare among the nations, proclaim and set up a standard. Proclaim and do not conceal it. And then the part comes, which actually is about Babylon and Babylon's fall, which was part of God's plan. So you nearly can say that the sign was already put up that Babylon was going to fall. Babylon, say Babylon is taken, Bel is shamed, Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are humiliated. Her images are broken into pieces. It's confirming again as well that Jesus conquered, Jesus has beaten the devil at the cross. The devil is already lost. So if we are going to walk into a certain area as well, and we're going to evangelize, and we're going to work into that area, we can put up that sign in the spirit. We already can speak it out, and we can say, the devil has already been defeated at the cross. We don't have to do it anymore. It already has been done. Like Babylon's fall, the devil has already fallen. And we can move into that area. And then we can proclaim, we can declare, and then we can claim wherever God is going to place us. Because we're all at different places where God wants to use us. It could be our house. It could be the work. It could be in the street. It could maybe be at the university. It could be at any place where God wants you, that you should be working for his kingdom, but God is placing us. And then a beautiful thing is, if God is placing you over there, and you know that God said to you, I want you to work over there, then you also have got authority over there. It's the same as what you are renting a house. Then you've got authority over that house, for that period, what you're paying your rental. If you're not paying your rental, you're losing your authority over there. So you've got authority over there. And this is also what God is saying with that signage which is coming up. That piece of ground, you've got authority over that. And the devil has already been beaten. So you can speak it out. It's not that you've got to do a lot of work, that you've got to put in a lot of effort. Jesus has done it already at the cross. When we arrived here in Utrecht in the first year, we also cycled around Utrecht 7 times. And by that, we also claimed, proclaimed, and declared that Utrecht, which God has given to us, God said, we've got to go to Utrecht and start an English-speaking church over here. So then you've got authority over here. Then you can use that authority, and we use that authority. It was a little bit more than a year back that God said the same for us, what Nijmegen is concerned. He said, go to Nijmegen, pray over there. And if we take the central business district of Nijmegen, you can see one road going from north to south and one from east to west, which is the top of a cross. And God told us, go to the different points and go and pray over there and declare my name over there. Claim Nijmegen for my kingdom and speak it out that Nijmegen belongs to me. And I want to finish off this part with a prayer. Father, show us the area in our lives where we've got to claim for you, where we have to proclaim your kingdom, and where we've got to declare your name. In the name of Jesus, amen. Once a sign has been put up and once a certain area has been designed or designated, then that a building is going to be put up, you need an architect. You need somebody who's going to make a drawing. And yeah, what is it? The owners are going to the architect and they will tell the architect, we want to have this size of house. We've got 5 children, so we need 5 bedrooms, or I don't know what you need over there. But then you got your wishes, and you bring it to the architect. He's taking that into consideration, and he's going to start drawing, and then he makes a type of a plan. The plan what you most probably see at the moment as well. So then you're going to get that house, what you're going to build, you get it designed for that specific plan. And it's also so if you've got a site close to the sea, of course, you're going to use the view what you've got on the sea or the mountain view. No mountains in the Netherlands, but let's say you've got a view over the water or anything like that. But you're going to maximize that piece of ground. And also, if you haven't got any view, then you're going to put it that way that you get the maximum amount of sun, light, whatever it is. You take all those type of things into consideration. God is also an architect. Hebrews 11, verses 10. For he, which is Abraham, for Abraham was waiting expectantly and confidently, looking forward to that city, to that eternal city, which has fixed and firm foundations, whose architect and builder is God. An architect can always see how the thing is going to be in practice afterwards. He can already see that house. God has already got his plan. He knows that eternal city, what he is going to build, that new Jerusalem. He already knows how it's going to look like. In Revelations, we can read something about it, how it actually looks like, and what God is going to build over there. And Abraham, at that time, he was already looking forward to that eternal city, because he knew that our lives on this earth are only going to be for a certain period, and then it's over. But Abraham was already looking forward to that part. But that plan, I don't know if you see it at the moment behind me, that plan has got lines on it. And those lines have been drawn by the architect. And those lines in the spirit, if we want to know God's plan, we've got to pray. And if we're praying, then each and every prayer is going to be a line on that plan. It's going to be a line on God's plan for us, or God's plan for Utrecht or for the Netherlands or whatever God puts you. If you're not going to pray, you're going to have a piece of paper which looks like this. There's no plan because you didn't pray. And if you've got something like this and then you want to do something for God, you're basically doing what you think is good. But we've got to go to God and we've got to ask him. And he's going to show us what we've got to do and how that house, how that building of his is going to look like and how he wants to use us. So if we're not going to pray, there are no lines on the plan. We're not going to see that house. We're not going to be able to see what God's plan is. We've got to spend time in prayer to hear of what God wants us to do. And God is the architect. He's the artisan. He's the founder. He's the creator. All those words are in that word architect. But he's also the builder. He's the maker of it. And God has got a plan for the whole world. But God has got also a plan for each and every individual person to be part of that total plan. And we've got to find out what God's plan is. We've got to approach him. We've got to seek his face and find out what God's plan is for that specific place where he placed us and which house he is looking for. Father, we pray for our houses. We pray for our work, for our suburb, for our town, and for our country, which are all part of your bigger plan. And Father, we pray that you're going to show us the spiritual house which you want us to build according to your plan. In the name of Jesus, amen. Once the site has been defined, once the plans for the house has been drawn up, then we come to the next thing. How much is it going to cost? How much money is it going to cost to build those type of that plan, what is over there. And costing means that you've got to do a calculation. We also read about it in Luke 14, verses 28 to 30, and then also 33. For which of you, and there was quite a large crowd around Jesus, where Jesus said, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. So it's necessary that you must do a costing beforehand. How much is it going to cost? How much money must I have so that that building can be built? But costing is also there exactly the same when we are going to be part of God's plan that we can read in verse 33. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So how much is it costing you to be part of God's plan? It's costing you everything. It's costing you everything to be part of God's plan. Like we heard last week as well, we're not adding God to our life. We're leaving our old life and we're moving into a new life, which is based on God, which is founded in God. So if we're talking about a costing for building a spiritual house for God, we've got to give everything. Jesus is saying, he cannot be my disciple. we cannot work for Jesus. So we've got to be prepared to give everything. Father, to build God's kingdom costs everything. And Father, I'm prepared to give everything for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Once the costing has been done, then tenders are sent out, and then builders are invited that they can come and that they can tender. And then the builder, you must probably also going to have a look at the builder, where you're going to have a look and see, okay, how good is the type of buildings that he's already built? Is he a capable builder? Has he got a lot of experience? Is he the right person? Can I trust him that he's going to build that house for me? Is there fruit, if we can talk about the spiritual side? And God is inviting us as well to build for him and with him in his kingdom. God is not asking if we can do it. God is asking, are we willing? And are we prepared to do it? It's different from what if we take a look at a builder. The builder, you take a look at the houses which he already built. If they are skew, if they are still standing, if the roof hasn't blown off. But what God is doing, God says, I'm asking you to build for me. But he's looking for a willing heart. He's looking for a heart which is prepared to help him over there. God asked Isaiah as well. After God had purified and prepared Isaiah, he asked him, we can read it over there where it says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then Isaiah lifted his hand and he said, here I am, send me. Are we prepared to build for God's kingdom? Are we prepared to react on that invitation, what God is sending to us, that we could be part in building God's kingdom on this earth? Because somebody else has brought the gospel to us that we can have a relationship with God. And God is asking us now, are you prepared? Are you willing to share it with somebody else, that that other person can also be included in my kingdom? Father, here I am. Send me to build your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. After the tender has been sent out, then the builder is going to be appointed and a project manager is going to be appointed. And then you've got different people who are going to be involved. You've got bricklayers, you've got painters, you've got plasterers, you've got a carpenter, you've got a plumber, you've got an electrician, you've got all, and if it's difficult things, you even have got engineers who you've got to include as well in the building project. All of them are necessary over there so that the project can be done. God has done exactly the same with us. He's giving us the gifts of the Father, the gifts of the Son, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's giving us those motivational, redemptive gifts, which are the gift of the Father, which are in us. If we are a servant, or if we are mercy, or if we are a giver. And then also giving us the fivefold ministry, the office gifts, how we can be used inside the church. And then also the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we can edify the people around us. So God has already given us the gifts which are needed to build God's kingdom. It's not that he can only use certain people for certain things. He is going to equip you for what has got to be done. And if you've got to pray for somebody to get healed today, then you do that. And if it is tomorrow that you've got to pray, or you've got to prophesy over somebody, then God will use you for that, for building his kingdom. What's also in a building project, that you've got people who are involved for quite a long period, and people who are only used for a certain period. We've got exactly the same in God's kingdom. We sometimes have got people who come in over here, they are here for 3 months and then they are gone again. But in the 3 months, you can see that they are bearing fruit over here. They are understanding what God's plan was, what they were here for a period. Other people are here for a longer period, exactly the same as what we also got with a normal building process. Father, use me. Use me with the gifts you've blessed me with for building your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. And if this all has started, and you want to say they move onto that piece of ground and they start digging and they get this foundation ready over there. And it's actually very interesting that they're first digging into the ground to build something which is going to be lifted above the ground. So you maybe would say, why are you not directly building? But we all know you need a solid foundation. And you first have got to dig into the ground that you can lay a foundation which is strong enough for the building which has got to go on top of it. In the spiritual realm, we do exactly the same. If we move into a certain area, or if God is giving us a certain instruction to go to a certain area, we prepare that area. If you go to a certain place, let's say when we're talking about Nijmegen, then you do what we call a spiritual mapping. You're praying and you're asking God, what was his idea? What is it, what he wants, what should happen with Nijmegen? And that you're going to listen to him and that you're going to put into practice. And then you start digging. That spiritual mapping is part of digging. You start digging to prepare the foundation, that the foundation can be ready and that you can start to build. Isaiah is talking about that foundation. Isaiah 28, verse 16 and 17. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Also, I will make justice to measure a line and righteousness to plumb it. The hail will sweep away the refuse of lies and the water will overflow the hiding place. The sure foundation is the covenant what God has got with us through Jesus Christ. That is the sure foundation. That is the foundation which is needed for that spiritual house which is going to be built. If we haven't got Jesus as the foundation, as the cornerstone, as the precious cornerstone, then it's better that we're not going to start. And then he says as well, and I'll also make justice the measuring line. Those are the tools which are used when you're building a measuring line. Justice is the measuring line. And righteousness is the plummet, to see if it is vertical or not. So this is what's used when you're busy with building. And if people are lying, then he says, the hail will sweep it away and the waters will overflow the hiding place. So if we are busy with God's kingdom and if there's anything which is spoken against it, the hail will sweep it away and the water will overflow the hiding place. Father, we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. We believe that God raised him from the dead and that Jesus is the foundation on which your kingdom has been built. There is no other foundation. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've got everything, the whole process going now. Now they're going to start building the house. And with building the house, we need building material. But we all know that if you're going to build a house, you've got to have building material which is going to last. If you want to build a house where you want to stay in with your family, you're not going to build a wall with paper. You're going to build it with bricks. You're not going to have plastic wrap as your windows. You're going to put in double glazing most probably, and so on and so on. You're using the right material for the right work. And that we can read also in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 to 15. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, that's on Jesus the foundation, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each works will become clear for the day, and that's where the capital will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's works of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built or on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. And there we can see that he's talking about two different of building materials. The one is gold, silver, and costly stones, and the other one is wood, hay, and straw. People, you are precious materials. You are precious building materials for God's kingdom. You are not wood, hay, or straw, but you are gold, silver, and costly stones. This is what God has given us, what God wants us to use. This is also what we've got to take a look at, that we say, but how can God use me for his kingdom? You are precious. You are gold. You are silver. And God wants to use you for that. Because we are founded on solid ground, which is on the Bible. If there are false prophets and if there are false teachers, that is wood and hay and straw. If the day is coming, if the fire is coming, we will see what's left over. The gold, the silver, and the precious stones, they will still be there. But the other stuff will not be there anymore. Father, we want to be grounded in your work. Thank you that we can be that precious gold, that we can be that silver, that we can be that costly stones through Jesus Christ, that we can be that for your building. In the name of Jesus, amen. And when they're busy with building the house, then we come to the stage that the house is finished. And that's beautiful, because then you can move in, and then you can settle, and then you can rest, and then you can say, the house is finished, now I can enjoy it. For all the work that has been done, the monies would have been paid, and a lot of times when houses are being built, the house is not totally finished, but the people are already moving in because the money is finished. So they just move in and they will do the painting or the floor or whatever, they will do it afterwards. And then the house is going to be protection. It's also going to be comfort. And that the house really is going to have value as well. If it has been thought through, that it has got the sea view, the mountain view, if it has got the amount of sun, and so on, that house is going to be of value. But is our spiritual house, is that ever completed? Is it ever that God will say to us, well, I think you've done enough on your earthly life. You can sit on the couch now and you can watch TV for the rest of your life on earth. I don't think so. I think we're always going to be busy. Different building sites, different projects, but God will always use us. It's a matter of, are we going to ask God where he wants to use us and how he wants to use us? Because God will always be busy with us. We are also the spiritual house for the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16, it says, do you not know that you are the temple? And this is where they're talking about the congregation. Do you not know that you as a congregation are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. As a congregation, we are a temple for the Holy Spirit, but in our individual capacity, which we can read in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19, where it says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our body is also the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when we've got the Holy Spirit in us, after we got saved, then God's building project in us is finished. But then we can become co-worker with God, and then we can be busy in other people's lives. And God is taking you as you are. And it can be that you feel broken, that you say, but Lord, leave me alone. I first have got to sort out a few things before I can be used for doing something for your kingdom. God wants to use you. If God is speaking to you, be obedient. Because it can be that through your process as well, through your building process, that you are going to be healed as well. That you say, but this has had such an impact for me, for my relationship with God, where I thought I had to do it myself. God actually used me to work in his kingdom, to be a co-worker with him. And that's how I've got to be, this is how I got healed. God wants to work with us on his building. God wants to be our co-worker. 1 Corinthians 3 verses 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. The text that I used is the one out of the Amplified, which is elaborating a little bit more. For we are fellow workers, joint promoters, laborers together with and for God. You are God's garden and vineyard and field under cultivation. You are God's building. Three times Paul is mentioning God over here. But then he says that we are God's co-worker. When you read that, then you think, now how can I be a co-worker of God so big, so great, and I'm over here, I maybe have got a degree, but how can I be a co-worker? It actually doesn't matter. And what is over there is that we're not that we are equal to God, but we've got the same goal. And the same goal is that people are going to be saved. That's why we are co-worker with God. Both of us are bringing, nearly want to say to the party, both of us are working together for the same goal, that people are going to be saved. That's why we are co-worker along with God. And we've got to react on that invitation, what God is giving us, that we can become a co-worker from Him, and that we can help Him, and that we can, along with God, carry out His purposes. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your trust in us, that you invite us to be your co-worker, that you're looking for an obedient servant, and that we can be that in the name of Jesus. Amen. We went through all the building phases, and more or less you can still remember what and where and a piece of ground and building material and architect and all those type of things. God is continuously busy, like I said in the beginning, with the process. And He wants us that we should be part of that process. The 3 days what we're going to have now, where we're going to have prayer and fast, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's when we are going to see God's face and when we're going to listen to Him, how He wants to use us for His building project, how He wants to involve us into His building project. And if we are not going to seek His face, then we're going to have that white piece of paper without any lines on it. But we've got to spend time with Him. We've got to find out and say, Lord, where do you want to use me? What do you want me to do over there? And that we can seek His face and that He is going to reveal that to us. What has been said and what you've read in the email as well, that the vision what we've got, that we're going to reach nations and generations through disciple making, through leadership training, and also to church planting. That's the vision of Shofar Church. What we're going to pray about on Monday, Tuesday, and on Wednesday. So on Monday, we're going to focus about the first two, the disciple making and the leadership training. On Tuesday, we're going to pray for the church plant, which is exactly the same date. We're also going to pray for Valencia. We're also going to pray for Nijmegen. And we trust that God is going to guide us over there as well. And then on Wednesday, we're going to pray for the Netherlands. We are here in the Netherlands. Maybe God wants to use us in other places in the Netherlands as well. And then the important thing of the coming elections, that we're going to pray for godly leaders, that we're going to pray for people who are going to stand up and say, I believe in God, and the solution is Jesus. And that we're going to see godly leaders being elected and standing up for God's kingdom. I would like to finish off today with praying all those prayers, what I just now prayed, that I'm going to pray them again. And the different fields, you will see them on the screen, I'm going to pray them. And I would like you that you think about it, and if there are certain in those fields where you feel that God wants to use you over there, or you need more guidance over there, speak to God, ask Him, specifically the next few days. Become quiet and listen to Him. What God wants us, what we as a congregation should do, helping Him with His building project in the Netherlands and in Utrecht, but also what you've got to do in your individual capacity. It could be that you're here today. It could be that next month you're in India or you're somewhere else, that God wants to use you over there, but that you seek His face and that He's going to reveal it to you. Father, show us the area in our lives we have to claim for You, where we have to proclaim Your kingdom, and where we have got to declare Your name. Thank You, Father, that You are the architect and the builder. And Father, we pray for our houses, our work, our suburb, our town, our country, our university, which are all part of your bigger plan. And Father, show us the spiritual house where you want us, where you want to use us for building according to your plan. And yes, it's going to cost money, Father. It's going to cost myself. And Father, to build your kingdom, it's going to cost everything. And I want to give everything for your kingdom, God. And I want to raise my hand and I want to say, Father, here I am. Send me to build your kingdom. And I don't have to worry about my gifts, Father. You will give me what I need. And Father, I pray that you're going to use me with the gifts you've blessed me with for building your kingdom. And thank you, Father, that Jesus is our foundation, that you've already got a plan for that. Jesus is our foundation. And we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And we believe that God raised him from the dead and that Jesus is the foundation on which your kingdom is being built. There is no other foundation. Jesus is the only foundation. And thank you for that precious building material, Father, that we can be precious building material because we are grounded in you. Thank you, Father, that we can be that precious gold, that precious silver, and that costly stones, because we can be that only through Jesus Christ. And thank you that we can be that for your spiritual building. And thank you, Father, that we can be co-workers with the Creator of heaven and earth, that we can be a co-worker with you. Thank you, Father, that you've got trust in us and that you invite us to be your co-worker, and that we're looking forward to be an obedient servant of yours. Thank you, Father, for your building plan for this world, building your house, building God's kingdom in this world, and that you're waiting for us to become part of it. And Father, I pray, Lord, that in the next few days is what we're going to pray, each and every one on his own, but also maybe in small groups and as a congregation, that you're going to lead us, that you're going to show us, that we're going to get feedback where people are saying, this is what the Lord said to me. This is the vision what I got. This is the dream what I got. This is the scripture which popped up. This is what I want to share, what I felt, what God is sharing with me, whatever it is. But Father, that you're going to speak to us individually, that we can bring it back again together, and that we can see, but this is God's plan. This is God's plan for Shofar Utrecht, but this is also God's plan for each and every person's life of how you want to use us, Father, and that we're going to pray. That we're going to pray, because if we're going to pray, then your plan is going to be revealed. And praying is so important. Jesus also prayed so many times that he went on his own into the mountains and then he prayed. How much more we have got to pray? How much more we have got to seek your face and listen to you? What is your plan? And how we can be part of your plan. And Father, at the moment, I also feel that there's maybe somebody who's listening or somebody who's watching at the moment, I'm not quite sure, who wants to become part of your building plan, but never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Never could say to you, the Creator of heaven and earth, Father, never invited the Holy Spirit into his or her life as a helper. And Father, I pray that that person who's listening now and feels that he or she has got to take that decision now, that they will contact us, that we can pray along with them, that they can be included in the building team, and that we can be part, all of us, as co-workers for you in your kingdom. Thank you, Father. You've got a plan, and it's for us to come to you. Thank you that we don't have to make our own plans. That would have been confusing, but that we can rely on you, that we can seek your face. Thank you, Father, for the next 3 days when we're going to fast and prayer. Thank you that you're going to speak to us through your Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're now going to sing one song to finalize this sermon. It's quite a well-known song, and it's talking about God's kingdom. But God's kingdom first has got to start over here in our own heart. And if God's kingdom is not in our own heart, we cannot be part of the building team of building God's kingdom wherever we are. So when you're going to sing this song, and when you're going to sing Build Your Kingdom Here, that you first, I nearly want to say, put your hand on your heart, and that you say, build your kingdom over here, Father, because I know once your kingdom has been built over here in my heart, then I can be part. Then I can be part of your kingdom, and then I can be part of the building team that we can start and that we can build God's kingdom over here. In Utrecht, where you placed us at the moment, but God, if you're revealing also other places, then I pray that you're going to show it to us. And I'm looking forward, and those who are going to pray, and if you get a vision, if you get a dream, if you get anything what God is sharing with you, I'm asking you, please share it with me or with Renee. Send it to us. We're also going to have intercession on Tuesday evening, where we're going to specifically focus then on church planting, where we're going to see God's face concerning Shofar Utrecht, Shofar London, where Christoph and Steph are in Valencia, and where God already started speaking with us with Nijmegen and what he wants to do over there. We've been there a few times where we proclaimed, declared, and claimed Nijmegen for God's kingdom, that we can carry on with that. Looking forward to hear from you. Have a blessed week.
Our hearts again, increase in us we pray, unveil why we're made, come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls, Holy Spirit come invade us now, we are your church, we need your power in us, and we seek your kingdom first, we hunger and we thirst, refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize, to see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace, we lay down church, we pray, revive this earth. Build your kingdom here, let the darkness fear, show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land, set your church on. Change the eye.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.